This is Jay Sekulow. Jeff Sessions confirmed as the Attorney General. Senator Elizabeth Warren sanctioned by the Senate.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I, Jeff Sessions, do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. That's 1-800-684-3110.
I call the senator to order under the provisions of Rule 19.
Mr. President, I am surprised that the words of Coretta Scott King are not suitable for debate in the United States Senate. I ask leave of the Senate to continue my remarks.
Object.
I appeal the ruling.
Object. Objection is heard. The senator will take her seat.
Being Attorney General is a little different. Friend.
I know, but you don't go from being a friend with a guy to suddenly him being a bigot. Why were they friends with
this
bigot for all these years?
She was reading letters.
Now, I'm not talking about her. Harold's bigger point is not about Elizabeth Warren, it's about the Democratic Party.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. So here's what we've got. Senator Sessions has just been confirmed as the Attorney General of the United States. Actually, just sworn in, was confirmed last night. The biggest opposition to him, the most vocal opposition, was Senator Elizabeth Warren. And she should be ashamed of herself. First, I want to put up an award that Jeff Sessions, our friend Senator Jeff Sessions, by the way, an award that he received from the NAACP, the Civic and Human Rights Convention, the NAACP Governmental Award of Excellence to Senator Jeff Sessions for the outstanding work you do. We received this in 2009. And this is what Elizabeth Warren, a member of the Senate, says about him in a tweet. And you better believe every senator who voted to put Jeff Sessions' radical hatred into the Justice Department will hear from all of us if Jeff Sessions makes even the tiniest attempt to bring his racism, sexism, bigotry into the Justice Department. He'll hear from all of us if Jeff Sessions turns a blind eye while at real Donald Trump, violates the Constitution or breaks law. He'll hear from all of us. Keep that NAACP award up there for a few minutes for our Facebook and Periscope friends, because, folks, she's calling him a racist and bigot, and he received the highest award from the NAACP Civic and Human Rights Convention, their award of excellence. Yep. He is now going to be the Attorney General of the United States. He now is the Attorney General of the United States. He is going to be great. He's a good friend of ours. But this shows you the nature of the absurdity of what's going on the left right now.
That being said, if this is how the left would like to continue for the next 4 years, please let them do it, because all that means is that more conservatives will keep getting elected. They can mouth off. In fact, though, they can't. They can only go so far when they speak on the floor of the Senate
because
of Rule 19.
And Rule 19, no senator in debate shall directly or indirectly by any form of words impute to another senator or to the other senators any conduct or motive unworthy or unbecoming a senator. And that's exactly what. Do we have that sound where she was rebuked? We have that sound bite? Let's go ahead and play it. Here it is.
I call the senator to order under the provisions of Rule 19.
Mr. President, I am surprised that the words of Coretta Scott King are not suitable for debate in the United States Senate. I ask leave of the Senate to continue my remarks.
Object.
I appeal the ruling.
Objection is heard. The senator will take her seat.
And she's no Donald Trump when it comes to tweeting. I mean, she could try. speaking or tweeting, I mean, I think that, you know, that whole anger from Elizabeth Warren
is fake.
A lot of it people have blamed as part of the loss for Hillary Clinton. Remember, she brought Elizabeth Warren in at the last minute, states like New Hampshire, and they said it was just too much anger, too much nastiness, that whole nasty woman thing backfired. And again, if this is how the Democrat Party wants to be led going into the next election cycle, which is in a lot of red states, so be it. I mean, that's good for conservatives.
All right. Also, we've got a lot of other issues going on. We have got obviously this issue. We'll get into more of it. We also have, we're waiting for a possible decision from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We'll give you an analysis of where that stands right now. We also have, and this is something, folks, we need to understand, Iran, another missile launch. We're going to talk about all this. You give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls and comments. When we come back from break, we'll talk about Judge Gorsuch as well. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is under legal attack. The executive order implements many policy proposals put forth by the ACLJ. Number one, a pause in refugees. Two, creation of extreme vetting. Three, blocks jihadists from terrorist hotbeds. And four, calls for prioritizing Christians and other religious minorities for protection. But here's the problem. Leftist groups are aggressively challenging this vital order in the courts, working to put a stop to implementation of this important measure. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back, preparing legal briefs, defending the constitutionality of this order, a battle that is nearly certain to end up at the Supreme Court. Stand with the ACLJ, add your name to our new petition to defend our national security and protect Christians. We need to hear from you right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, ACLJ.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Share this with your friends on Facebook. And if you're watching, listening to us by our regular radio networks, which we're thrilled to have you, also let your friends know we're doing this. We're moving studios, by the way, in about a week. So you're going to be, those that see us will see us in a different spot. Those that hear us may have a different, are we going to sound the same, Will? I guess we will.
We'll sound the same, but
even better. Even better. Even a better set, great new set, yeah. All right, we're going to go take some calls. Stan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, graced us with his presence in the studio today. He is actually here. Let me ask you a Gorsuch, let me ask you a Sessions question first. I was actually surprised that it was close as it was. I thought Jeff Sessions should have had 68 votes. I mean, I thought he should have had 100 votes, but he should have had 68. Is this the warm-up stuff to the Gorsuch nomination?
No question about it. I think Jeff Sessions is the most qualified nominee for Attorney General we've ever seen in the United States. Yeah. So, honestly, this was a political decision made by Senate Democrats. And Jay, I don't think it's disconnected from what we saw with Senator Warren last night getting sanctioned in the United States Senate. They have made a decision to do two things: make this about politics, and for a couple of senators, Jay, they're already running for president in 2020.
Here's what President Trump said about Jeff Sessions. By the way, I look at Jeff Sessions and I say, very similar background to John Ashcroft in that sense. John Ashcroft was a state attorney general, he was the governor, was a U.S. senator, became the attorney general. Jeff was not a governor, but he was the state attorney general, U.S. attorney, and then in the Justice Department and in Alabama, then, of course, became a United States senator, now attorney general. Very similar backgrounds. These are very well-qualified nominees. Let me go, very well-qualified members of the cabinet. Let me say, here is President Trump at the swearing-in this morning.
He's a man of integrity, a man of principle, and a man of total utter resolve. You just got a little witnessing of that. That resolve is what we need right now. America faces many challenges. We face the menace of rising crime and the threat of deadly terror. And it's not getting better, but it will get better very soon. It's going to get a lot better.
So let me ask you this, Than and Jordan. We got the Gorsuch nomination now, which is probably 60 days away before a hearing. Jordan first and then. I think all of this was, as I just said, I think this was a warm-up. This was them testing how their mechanisms work, how their machinery work. It didn't work like they had thought, maybe, but it was closer than a lot of us thought. So maybe they're – so what you have to understand, folks, that want to see Gorsuch confirmed, we're going to have a battle on this fight. I mean, this is going to be a real, real fight.
Yeah, so for like on DeVos, for instance,
they
were able to have to force the vice president to historically cast the 51st vote to get her confirmed. And really, that was a barrage of attacks at the last minute. So you saw kind of a strategy of hold, and then barrage attack against Betsy DeVos. But she, again, gets confirmed. She is Secretary of Education. Jeff Sessions, a Senate colleague, only getting one Democrat vote.
Was it Joe Manchin?
Joe Manchin out of West Virginia, and that's it. I mean, so
it's a marker for the elections coming up, folks.
We talk about those Democrats standing there in those states that Donald Trump won handedly, and yet so far they're not really shifting. I mean, on the more quote unquote conservative nominees, and Judge Gorsuch would fall, probably is the most contentious nomination battle for Donald Trump, and probably the biggest battle he will have politically of his first year in office.
Well, I would just say at great political risk, Jordan. I mean, you're talking about 10 Democrats running in states that Donald Trump won this time around, but Jordan, five of them are in states he won by 19 percentage points or more. So you're not talking about a close race. Clearly, the American people wanted Donald Trump picking his cabinet. Clearly, they wanted Donald Trump picking the next Supreme Court justice. He picked someone very qualified. Listen, I have no doubt that Judge Gorsuch is going to be confirmed, but there is a question on how he will be confirmed. Will he be confirmed with the support of some of these Democrats who have met with him and come out saying he deserves an up and down vote? Or will he be confirmed after great delay and through political, not through political force, but over the political objections that are being raised?
Yeah, this is going to be the great test, folks. And we're going to have to test our apparatuses as well. I mean, we did on the Sessions nomination. We're successful. But this is going to be at a whole different level when it comes to a Supreme Court nominee. All right, let's do this. We got calls coming. Let me take a couple comments on Facebook. Kate on Facebook says, so glad Jeff Sessions was sworn in. He'll do our nation so much good. Norm said, I'm so relieved now that Jeff Sessions has been sworn in our AG. I think that's going to help the president with his ongoing legal challenge at the Ninth Circuit right now that we're expecting a decision any moment on. By the way, if we get it later today, if you're hearing us taped later, we'll come back on Facebook and talk about it if we get a decision today. We're supposed to get an hour notification, I guess. They're going to give us an hour warning.
The Ninth Circuit court, their press office said a 60 to 90 minute notice. That's when they let everybody know yesterday, because everybody was believed, we believed, because the media was led to believe that it was coming out yesterday. And they said they'll give at least a 60-minute, maybe even 90-minute notice. So we haven't received anything like that yet. When we do, we'll know that the order is coming. Do they have to abide by that? No, I mean, they said that they would like to, but then could just
let me
out.
Say this. Just give you my prediction. Let me just say this. We have a team at the ACLJ. We're already working on the brief to the Supreme Court of the United States. That's where I think this is going. I mean, and by the way, when I think it's going there, it could be going there tomorrow.
Do you think there's some struggle going on here? Is that why it's been a couple days? I mean, this could have been a one-pager.
It could have been a two-sentence order. The petition of the United States Department of Justice is denied. I think there's a couple things going on. I mean, this is speculation, but I've been doing this for 37 years. I think there's a couple things that could be happening here. Number one, there could be an opinion with a dissent. And that dissent, to write the dissent, you have to get the opinion first, then you write the dissent. So that's the first thing that could be happening here. Number two, these judges, and they are very liberal, two of them, and their questions were outrageous. And I've said that on Sean's program. I've said it on this broadcast. I've written about this. It was outrageous. I am an appellate litigator. I do this for a living. This was absurd what those judges were asking. And the Department of Justice response was horrendous. Let's just be honest about that. It was just a very poorly argued case. Having said that, they have to look in and say that there is a possibility that eight justices of the Supreme Court say the Ninth Circuit's wrong here, and they could be embarrassed. So there's a lot that's going on here. We're going to know soon. I don't like speculating, but I'm just giving my experience as a litigator that's been doing this a long time, and I've been doing it a long time. All right, let's go ahead, Jordan, take some phone calls here.
Yep, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to
Brett.
Us on air. Yeah, we'll go to Brad in Washington State online, too. Brad, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thank you, Jay. Yep. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate everything you do.
Thanks.
I have a question. I know you're filing the brief for the Supreme Court. I believe it's going there myself. Will you be the one making the argument personally? And if not, will there be a better attorney there than what we just heard over the phone for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal?
Listen, I appreciated the 9 zillion tweets that I received after I was on with Sean last night and the night before, saying that they should, you know, the government should hire me to argue the case. I don't want that job, number one, and number two, it hasn't been offered, but it doesn't work that way. They have, hopefully this will go to the solicitor. If it goes to the Supreme Court of the United States, it's going to the Solicitor General's office, and that office is very competent in Supreme Court arguments. But let me tell you what we will do. We will be filing briefs. The oral arguments are great. They're fun. I love doing them. It's my favorite part of the practice of law. But let me tell you where you win and lose these cases. It's on the briefs, okay? So we've been spending days putting these briefs together. And Ben Sisney, Craig Parshall, our whole team has been working on this. And we've gotten very, very good results. I'm very pleased with the way our brief looks at the Court of Appeals. And I know that our Supreme Court brief will be very, very significant as well. But that will be argued, hopefully, by the SG's office. But the Attorney General can bring in special counsel, and that does happen sometimes.
Yeah, because there's an issue here. And unless he
unless
he gets a Solicitor General confirmed, right? Yeah. You have to get confirmed.
And they don't have a nominee yet.
And right now, the acting Solicitor General is conflicted out of this, and so is the deputy acting Solicitor General. So either they have to replace those acting. They could do that, right?
They can bring in an outside.
They could bring in new deputies, right?
Right.
New acting deputies that don't have to go through confirmed to argue this case. Because I tell you, leaving this up to career Department of
Not
Justice,
a good idea.
They don't agree with this policy. This is the guy who got the Eric Holder Award for taking down the Defense of Marriage Act. That's who argued this.
Yeah.
I mean, so you think that they're zealously believe in what Donald Trump is trying to do here? Probably not.
Well, and you know, then
and you can hear that in their tone.
Yeah, I mean, we've worked with the Justice Department for years, and then I'm wearing my Justice Department cufflinks, right? No, I'm not wearing cufflinks today. I was wearing them. I promise you, I was wearing them yesterday. I took them out. I thought they were tarnished over the last couple of years, but I brought them out of mothballs yesterday.
Saying they were tarnished by that oral argument presented by that attorney.
Well, that was I said that was painful to watch. It was, but look, Jeff Sessions is at the helm right now. I mean, he's there, probably on his way there right this moment. If not there already at the office, and he's going to figure this out.
Yeah, well, while he wouldn't directly argue this case, Jay, I think it does speak to the need to have the president's guy helming the Department of Justice, because leadership-wise and moving people out that were part of the past administration is part of this. And listen,
Jeff Sessions is capable of arguing. I will say that he was a DOJ prosecutor. He could do this.
Well, and the ramifications, Jay, go so far beyond this, because listen, if keeping people out of this country that can't be vetted is not a national security authority, then I'm not sure what is a national security authority.
Well, let me tell you, this comes on the heel, and this is reported by CNN. So we haven't verified this independently, but CNN has reported this, okay, that the vice president of Venezuela, Tariq El Ayasami, has authorized 173 Venezuelan passports and IDs that were issued to individuals from the Middle East, and it's been confirmed by CNN anyways, they're reporting this, including people connected to the terrorist group Hezbollah. So where do you think these folks are going? Go ahead, Jordan.
I mean, and it's interesting, Venezuela, which is not really a friend of the United States, you do have to have a visa to come there, but that's not too hard to obtain. But this passport does allow you to go into 130 countries without a visa, including all countries of the European Union. This is an individual. He's the number two in Venezuela to the Maduro government, which is a dictatorship, basically a part two of the Hugo Chavez government. Yep. He was born in Venezuela, is Druze, heavily connected. They say he's one of the most feared politicians in Latin America because of his connections to the Ayatollah and Hezbollah.
There you go. So maybe we need a pause and get all this figured out, because the world is dropped. You've got, this is authorized by the vice president of Venezuela. And then I gave you the report on Hannity yesterday. The 100 Syrians were admitted in 2 days, according to reports we've received. UN vetting only. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is under legal attack. The executive order implements many policy proposals put forth by the ACLJ. Number one, a pause in refugees. Two, creation of extreme vetting. Three, blocks jihadists from terrorist hotbeds. And four, calls for prioritizing Christians and other religious minorities for protection. But here's the problem. Leftist groups are aggressively challenging this vital order in the courts. working to put a stop to implementation of this important measure. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back, preparing legal briefs, defending the constitutionality of this order, a battle that is nearly certain to end up at the Supreme Court. Stand with the ACLJ, add your name to our new petition to defend our national security and protect Christians. We need to hear from you right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
So Jeff Sessions is confirmed. Elizabeth Warren deservedly gets sanctioned, and Jeff Sessions is now the Attorney General of the United States. We are going right to the phones, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We got Than Bennett actually in our media studios here at the ACLJ. And by the way, at JSecula Live, guess what? About a week from now, we will be broadcasting from our new facility. So those of you that are listening to us will hear an even better quality audio. And those that of you are watching us will see an incredibly new, a beautiful new set where we can have up to five people on at the same time. We could be just like Morning Joe.
Yeah, that's right.
A tad more conservative.
Somewhat more conservative, yes. I think, than right, that. Let's go to Mark in Texas. I've been holding on line one. Mark, welcome to JSecula Live.
Hey, Mark, go ahead.
You know, the big question to me is that on this vetting, the United States needs to have the last word.
Yeah.
And everybody, and there shouldn't be no question that about that, which that is the crux of the argument.
Well, that is the biggest problem here. I mean, why would we rely on the United Nations, which we are an NGO with, our European offices, which is one of the most corrupt organizations in the world? Than is our designated representative. Than and Miles Terry are designated representatives to the UN. Why would you rely on their vetting when we know for a fact, by the way, that in the UN refugee camps, Christians and Yazidis can't even stay there because it's that dangerous. So they can't even monitor and keep peace within their own refugee camps. Than?
Well, that's why you need a U.S. secured safe zone. I mean, honestly, U.S. boots on the ground to secure for Christians and Yazidis is the only way to get that done. But back to the original point, Jay, and this is a point that Jordan's made on numerous networks. Listen, Donald Trump started with the countries that the Obama administration said that they could not certify who was coming out of there. So it's not like Donald Trump made up these seven countries where he was going to put this pause on. These are the countries that the Obama administration says we cannot vet refugees coming out. So, of course, those are the countries you start with. Now, I think they should probably look at Venezuela. I think they should probably look at Saudi Arabia. And President Trump has said he is going to. But listen, this is the common sense place to start. When the last president says he can't vet the people coming out of these seven countries, there is no way that those folks should be coming in until we can certify.
Well, I mean, this is, and by the way, the countries of origin and concern, I'm adding Venezuela to this. If they've issued 173 right. Venezuelan passports to individuals from the Middle East, including people connected with Hezbollah. You know what? The Constitution's not a suicide pact. Let me say that again, as Justice Jackson said. The Constitution of the United States is not a suicide pact. Nobody has the right to come here. So we can put in reasonable restrictions to protect our own national security interests. Why that lawyer for DOJ didn't argue it like that? A little passion. He asked me the question, is this order of the executive order of the President of the United States, does he have the ultimate authority of this? Is this reviewable by a court? Answer to that, no, it's not. He has the authority, period. Yes, he has the authority. No, the court can't get in there. We don't care what the evidence is. It doesn't matter. It's a delegated authority from the legislature to the president and also an Article II power. That's the answer to the question. Wasn't that complicated. Let's take another call.
Yeah, back to the phones. We go Faye in Colorado on line three. Faye, welcome to JSecula Live.
From the legislature.
All right, Faye, you have got to turn down your phone or your whatever you're listening on. Turn that down, and we're going to go back to you right now. So turn down whatever you're listening to. And, Faye, you ready to talk to us? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm ready.
There you go.
Okay. Hi.
Yep.
Hi. This business of the border and all this is driving me crazy. And I'm thinking, you know, we don't have a right to come into this country unless we come in legally. So 50 years ago, I came into this country from Canada. I came in on a student visa. I met my husband while I was here in the United States. I married him. Years ago, they used to put your marriage announcement right. stuff in the newspaper. And the immigration people saw I was from Alberta, Canada. And within minutes after that was put in the newspaper, immigration was at our apartment.
Sure.
Physically took me down to the immigration office and made me start filling out a proper
right.
immigration papers to be a legal, to be a permanent.
Sure. So let me tell you this. My grandfather, I'm only the second generation of my country born in the United States. My grandfather came here in 1914, came in through Ellis Island, did it legally. Do you know how long it took him to get his citizenship? 14 years. My daughter-in-law Amanda found his citizenship papers online on one of the ancestry type sites. And she had, we have his actual, but it took 14 years to be a naturalized citizen in the United States. There, I want legal immigration. Let me tell you what I don't want. I don't want 173 Venezuelan passports and IDs issued to Hezbollah and them coming into the European Union where we have offices or the United States. And I don't want passports out of Syria where we know ISIS is controlling the issue. We've said this before, and I think it's important, Jordan, to reiterate this. Understand that in many of the cities of Syria and Iraq that ISIS has control of, they are controlling the passport office. So when that passport office issues a passport, it is not a fraudulent passport. It's a valid, it's a real passport used for a false means. So it's used for fraud, but it's not issued fraudulently.
No, it's not counterfeit.
It's not right.
I mean, that's the thing. And same goes for, you know, what's happening in this report in Venezuela. These are real passports.
That's CNN reporting the Venezuelan one,
yeah,
by the way.
And I look at these seven countries. I mean, and this is why Venezuela would be a good fit. It's also kind of a failed state right now. They can't feed their own people. Their leaders are dictators, and they are more interested in themselves and giving out passports to their terrorist friends. They've got the links to Hezbollah. We've known that since the days of Hugo Chavez, but even more so under the Maduro dictatorship. But we look at you look at these lists. I break them down this way: Syria and Iraq. They're on the list. There's a war going on there, so that's why they're on the list. Libya, Somalia, and Yemen are failed states. No effective governments there. They certainly cannot vet people for us or provide information. And then Sudan and Iran. Syria could also be on this, but I'd say because Syria's in their war, that they're even in a worse place. But Sudan and Iran, enemies of the United States. So, of course, they're not going to help us vet their citizens to come to the country. So there are reasons why each of these seven uniquely are on the list, not all for the same reason.
Interesting thing. Oscar on Facebook says, if the Ninth Circuit ruling is overturned so often, what purpose does it really serve? They intentionally went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals because they would find a hospital. It's called forum shopping, which is not illegal. They did it to find a judge, and they did, that would rule in their favor, and then a court of appeals that they're most likely to win. Then Donna asks, is it going to the Supreme Court? I believe, look, we're preparing for it to be at the Supreme Court. Literally could be this week. I mean, it's possible.
And when we say that, we're talking about the procedural issue at the Supreme Court.
The issue
not yet the,
not the
whether
merits.
It's constitutional to issue this executive
the
order.
The question is whether the president had the authority to do that. It's the only question that's going to be there. And the issue would really be whether the TRO could have been issued
really,
or the preliminary.
Should have been stopped before they answer.
And technically, under the rules, a TRO is generally not appealable to the Supreme Court, but they'll be treating it like a preliminary injunction. I don't want to confuse everybody with the legalese. Let me tell you what we're going to be ready. But let's talk for a moment then, because this, we only got a minute here. What's the kind of the, you just left Washington just 48 hours ago. What's the sense of what's going on? I mean, I know there's a lot, I was just up there too, but I want to get your read on it.
Well, first of all, I think there's a belief that there's a real struggle going on at the Ninth Circuit now, because I think that they believe the Ninth Circuit is naturally inclined to want to rule against the president. But I think they think there's a real risk of being overturned by the Supreme Court. Yeah. 8-0 listen, my sense is this. The Congress has a jealous interest, Jay, in preserving two things. One, their right to legislate, which is why we engaged on their behalf when President Obama intervened in this space to expand the people that were coming into the United States. But they also have a vested interest in making sure that the chief executive has the national security powers that are in Article II and that they intentionally gave to the chief executive in the INA Act. So I think they want to focus on making sure that the national security interests don't have to go through 535 members of the United States Congress.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, most of the networks are now carrying the full hour, but some don't. If you do not, go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it there. You can go to Facebook and Periscope, SiriusXM. You've got it. But again, we're on at Facebook.com/JSecular. You can pick it up there. We're going to be back with a lot more on this. We've got other topics we're going to hit as well. We'll take more of your phone calls. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. Easiest way to do that, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your comments, in just a minute.
President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is under legal attack. The executive order implements many policy proposals put forth by the ACLJ. Stand with the ACLJ. Add your name to our new petition to defend our national security and protect Christians. We need to hear from you right now. Call 1-877-877-877. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Broadcast. If you're just joining us, Jeff Sessions is now the Attorney General of the United States. He was sworn in. Do we have any sound from Jeff? I should say General Sessions. He has been a friend of ours, though. I will say that Jeff Sessions has been a friend of ours for a long time, and we're thrilled that he is now the Attorney General of the United States. That may well help this case at the Ninth Circuit, which we're waiting for an opinion on. We will come to you live again later today, at least on Facebook and Periscope, if we get an opinion. And for those that are listening on radio, we will send out email alerts, and we'll be on Twitter letting you know what we find out on that. Let's go ahead and take another phone call. We got a lot of people been holding. Jordan, who do we got next?
Absolutely. Let's go to Caesar in Nevada on line 5. Caesar, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, Caesar, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you for your time, and I respect what you do. What I don't understand, I'm a Marine veteran. I'm a disabled veteran right now.
Thanks for your service.
If he's the president, whether you like him or not, and you call yourself a Christian, you have to respect that office and pray for him. I didn't really like Obama, but I respected his office because I'm a Marine.
Well, listen, first of all, you're exactly right. And we said this, too. We would say pray for the president. I mean, when I disagree with the policies, I disagree with the policy. By the way, there'll be plenty of policies I'm sure we'll disagree with this administration. Let me tell you the role we're taking here. If we disagree with the policy, we're going to say it. If we think it's the right policy, we're going to say it. And that's the way it's going to be. So far, I think the policy on this is exactly correct. And we're going to proceed as an honest broker. But the fact is, the media, the mainstream media, has an agenda that is falling apart because they can't keep up with Donald Trump's news. That's the real truth.
Well, it's just, and that's how he decided to take on these first 100 days. And then they start saying, well, is he actually going to do Obamacare? And that's going to come. It's all going to happen. They just can't keep up to all of the different things that are happening, all the moving parts, if you will. So instead of trying to do that, they go on the attack. I mean, I was talking to a Reuters reporter yesterday, and they said, how did you guys even file an amicus brief in this case? I said, because we have dedicated a team to making sure that when the Trump administration does something we know will be challenged, I think we are probably a little bit more prepared than the Department of Justice, that we know is going to be challenged. We've got a team now ready to put together the briefs, even on these procedural matters.
Right.
Because their point was all the Democrats were putting together briefs. Where were the Republicans and conservative groups? And I think that we have to be ready in that posture of we are not on the defensive anymore in the sense of, yep, we're not fighting policy, but we do have to defend the policies, yep, we support in a proactive way. And that's what we're doing.
Diane on Facebook said, is there any vetting of refugees going on now while the issue's at court? The answer is whatever vetting issues were in line before are in place. That was the vetting under the Obama administration, which basically was given to the United Nations.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about refugees from places like Syria, yep, and Iraq, so that where the conflict, yep, is ongoing, the predominantly Muslim refugees. That's going through the UN refugee program,
which is not vetting.
No, it's just, and it's no good, right? I mean, look at what's happened in Germany. First of all, Germany wasn't prepared for the amount of people, so they put them in horrible conditions. So you put a whole group of people in bad conditions, it just breeds more violence. People who are coming from backgrounds where men and women are not supposed to be so close together, right, and all these things, and it gets out of control. And now the German people are feeling that. I mean, they've seen it in the terror attacks, but, yep, also on a daily basis with on things that are not necessarily terror attacks, but just harassment in the streets, yep, which is ongoing now in major German cities.
All right, we're going to take more of your calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Everyone's waiting for the opinion. If we get it later in the day or this evening, we will come to you live. One way or another, we will keep you posted on that. Again, let me encourage you to give us a call if you want to talk to us on air at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Continue getting your comments in on Facebook and Periscope. We are monitoring those as well. And again, a decision can come out any moment. We come back, we're going to talk about the legality of the order. Why this should be a non-controversial case. We'll be joined by our Director of Public Policy, Professor Harry Hutchinson. So he'll be joining us in just a moment. Continue to support the work of the ACLJ. You do that by going to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And right now we're getting ready with briefs, probably the Supreme Court of the United States, on this issue of the executive order. Those briefs are being written now as we speak. So again, there's going to be a lot more ahead of this. There is no guarantee on what time this is coming out. We're just going to see what happens today. It could be even tomorrow. I am supposed to be on with Sean Hannity again this evening, so look for us there on Fox News at 10 o'clock Eastern time. Back with more in a moment.
President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is under legal attack. The executive order implements many policy proposals put forth by the ACLJ. Number one, a pause in refugees. Two, creation of extreme vetting. Three, blocks jihadists from terrorist hotbeds. And four, calls for prioritizing Christians and other religious minorities for protection. But here's the problem. Leftist groups are aggressively challenging this vital order in the courts, working to put a stop to implementation of this important measure. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back, preparing legal briefs, defending the constitutionality of this order, a battle that is nearly certain to end up at the Supreme Court. Stand with the ACLJ, add your name to our new petition to defend our national security and protect Christians. We need to hear from you right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Professor Harry Hutchinson is with us and has written a great post up at aclj.org called Everything You Need to Know About the Judge's Hold on President Trump's Executive Order. I'm going to ask you the question, Harry, that was the first question asked of the lawyer for the DOJ, which he had so much trouble answering, which to me is, does the president have the authority to issue that executive order, yes or no?
Absolutely, based both on the Constitution and statutory authority given to him by Congress. It's unmistakable. And all that is required of Judge Robart is the ability to read.
Okay, so why? It's hard to get in the mind of another lawyer, and I don't like criticizing other lawyers, but why could he not answer that? Do we have that question? Let's find it. So it was the first question of the oral argument, so let's find it. We'll play it in a moment. What was so difficult about that?
Well, I think he was unprepared to offer zealous advocacy on behalf of his client.
Yeah, that was for sure. And Jordan, do you think that this is what happens? We've talked about this a lot. I've written a book about it. This is the unelected bureaucrats.
Yes, they will do everything possible to undermine you, and sometimes that is kind of phoning in a legal appearance. I mean, it was not horrendous, but it was bad. And there is some talk that maybe this lawyer had literally no time to prepare because they made the decision at the last minute. But,
so?
But still, he's been there 19 years.
He could read 1182F.
Yeah, I mean, this is a procedural.
I would have said that every time they asked the question. You know what I would have said? I said, here's what the statute says. The president, by proclamation, can restrict or put in place restrictions regarding aliens, immigrants, and non-immigrants to the United States.
Yeah.
There you go. And then I'd read parts of Article 2.
The only other statute that comes into issue is one on issuing immigrant visas, which doesn't include tourist visas, student visas, travel visas, business visas. And there, again, a visa, the actual issuing of a visa does not involve the right of entry. That the right of entry is something separate from getting your visa. You get your visa so that you can be on the path right. to legally entering the country. But you could show up to the airport in America with your visa and be denied.
Yeah, so here's the thing. This was another one of the questions that was asked. So the district court judge asked about the, in the hearing, asked about, you know, where's your evidence that any of these people could have done anything? Which the answer to that should have been, what difference does that make? You know what? That's absolutely irrelevant.
Question. And that question is reserved for the president.
Yeah, so I would have said this. Let's play what was asked first and the response from the DOJ lawyer. This is number 10.
In the transcript of the hearing in the district court asks the representative of the Department of Justice, you're in the Department of Justice, how many federal offenses have we had being committed by people who came in with visas from these countries? And the ultimate was the answer was there haven't been any.
Yes, Your Honor. These proceedings have been moving quite fast, and we're doing the best we can.
This is not an answer to a legal question. Yes, cases move fast. It's called an injunction, so be prepared. And by the way, the judge was wrong. And there's going to be a listing of how many countries and how many arrests have taken place from people of these countries of origin. And you know what the answer to that still is? What? I advocate for a living. I do appellate arguments. That's what I do. I could have argued that case. It's not to boast, Harry, and I know the law on this is so clear that the president had this authority. All you kept have to doing was reading the statute, read the constitutional provision, read the statute, go back to that every time. What difference? The court said, do we have any evidence of this? This is a TRO hearing, and there was no evidence of anything. The judge relied on a newspaper report. You don't make a TRO in a newspaper report, Harry.
Well, the other issue that's out there is the fact that there was already a 21-page opinion issued by a judge in Massachusetts. And so the Justice Department could have used that opinion upholding President Trump's executive order as the basis of their argument. Yep. Secondly, the government attorney could have pointed out evidence, if he so chose, by simply referring to a recent incident at Ohio State by a Somali immigrant.
Who was on the, by the way, in Somalia, was one of the countries listed.
And third, the Justice Department could have emphasized the fact that we already have a judgment in place by President Obama, by the U.S. Congress, and now by President Trump, and simply point to the statutory language which gives the president the authority to render this decision.
They did not serve the president well. All right, Joel, let's take a call.
Yeah, let's go to Liam calling in from California online too. Liam, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Liam, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, nobody expects the 10 Democratic senators who are up for re-election in red states, nobody expects them to just give up and not, have a fight. And it seems like voters in those states wouldn't care if a trade representative or another secretary was pushed back in the voting. But my question is, what is something that the Democrats that could do to take a stand, but do it in a positive way rather than, obstructionism?
I'm going to defer to Jordan on the politics of this. What do you think is going to happen there?
If they want to make your statement, don't read old letters from civil rights leaders calling people names.
From 30 years ago.
Make your statements based off policy. And the truth is, Liam, I think that they have a lot of trouble. To say that Jeff Sessions isn't qualified, again, we go to do you like their policies? And is that why you're against them? Then you have to be honest about that, because really what they're voting on is qualifications. And he's certainly qualified because of all the government roles he's had. I think that you saw in some of these situations, it's just the political nastiness. I'm not sure, Liam, to be quite honest with you, that in 2017 that you can accomplish that. If the opponents, the Senate used to be the place where even the opposition, it was like a country club, if you will, or a private club. It's not like that anymore. It's war. It's like the House of Representatives. And so, again, I think there are ways to oppose nominees in a graceful way. But we're not seeing that anymore in today's politics. So I think that's That's a long gone era, and I don't think we're going to see it returning anytime soon.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's take one more call here. I want to get. I've got something I want to ask Harry, but I want to get another call in.
Yeah, let's go to Cindy in Illinois. She's been holding on line for.
Yeah, Cindy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Cindy.
Hey, Jay, I got a couple of questions. A short question. The first question is, you know, when the Democrats didn't show up to vote that one day, and there
the boycott.
Were confirmations.
Yep.
Why didn't they confirm everybody?
Well, because the Senate rule said one of them had to be there. You had to have one. I mean, that was, Harry, the Senate rule has become very important on this because the Senate, not just the Constitution, the Senate has their own, as the House does, their own procedural rules. So everybody's using their procedural rules here.
I think that's correct, Jay. But the other point, which is also important, is the fact that the Senate Democrats boycotted committee hearings primarily,
yeah, right.
As opposed
so they
to
couldn't get
the
them out of committee.
Actual vote.
Yeah. So you couldn't get, if you didn't have one there, you couldn't get right. It out of committee.
Ultimately, of course, the Republicans did change the rules with respect to committee voting, and most of the nominees will be approved probably without a problem.
All right. So let's do some predicting around here. I'll give you mine first, and we'll go to Harry, and then we'll go to Jordan. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Something's going on, is my prediction.
Yeah.
I don't know if it means a dissent. I don't mean it may be a long opinion, but there's something other than a one-page order, the motion of the United States is denied. Harry, what do you think?
Well, I think...
Because we're going on day three here.
I think...
Technically day two.
That was pretty early. They could. I mean, if it was going to be a slip order, they could have done it that day,
yeah.
A few hours later. So
Number one, I think it will be a split opinion.
Yeah, I think that too.
And I think that they will uphold Judge Robart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think likely, if you're betting... You're betting on the Ninth Circuit going against the Trump administration, hoping to be surprised that maybe on an issue like standing, like injury, on
right.
The temporary restraining order, that the state
didn't
meet the burden
standards.
And that the judge was wrong at the district court, that the state just, they're not ruling on the merits, but that the state did not meet the burden that they needed to get that restraining order in place.
Yeah, so I tend to think, look, folks, here's how we're doing at the ACLJ. Go ahead.
No, I mean, but it's definitely, this is unique, right?
It's taking a long boy. Usually when you have these emergency hearings, oral arguments over the phone, you're getting an order that afternoon or the next day. So there's something at play here. Having said that, here's how we're preparing. I think it's important for people to understand this. Harry's been working on this. Craig Parshall in our office has been working on this. Ben Sisney has been working on this. We are preparing a brief for the Supreme Court of the United States. It is possible, though, this case goes back down to the district court. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, that could happen, too. So all of that is in play right now. Go ahead.
When you got the stay from Justice Kennedy, how long did that take to get? When it went from the time it went to the... To him as the circuit justice to the time he issued
in
the
muscle of that case?
Yeah.
Less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
Very quick. We filed it in the morning. We had it, I think, that afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, so that part of it can become
the Supreme Court,
very
he
quick.
Decided that he issued the stay on his own. He can either issue it on his own, remember, or deny it on his own, or refer it to the entire Supreme Court. And I've had those two. That takes about 3 days. So it moves quickly, so we could be at the Supreme Court tomorrow. I mean, I think that's possible here. All right, thank you, Professor Hutchins. The article is everything you need to know about judge's hold on President Trump's executive order. It is up at ACLJ.org. We come back from the break. We're going to be taking your calls in our last segment. For our friends on Facebook and Periscope, we're going to have a video we're going to play in a moment, so you want to stay tuned for that. And again, get your questions and comments in as well at Facebook and Periscope. Back with more in a moment. We'll take our radio callers when we come back from the break.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is under legal attack. The executive order implements many policy proposals put forth by the ACLJ. Number one, a pause in refugees. Two, creation of extreme vetting. Three, blocks jihadists from terrorist hotbeds. And four, calls for prioritizing Christians and other religious minorities for protection. But here's the problem. Leftist groups are aggressively challenging this vital order in the courts, working to put a stop to implementation of this important measure. At the ACLJ, we're fighting back, preparing legal briefs, defending the constitutionality of this order, a battle that is nearly certain to end up at the Supreme Court. Stand with the ACLJ, add your name to our new petition to defend our national security and protect Christians. We need to hear from you right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, ACLJ.org.
This is from another judge, Judge Friedland, to the Department of Justice. Not to beat up on the lawyer here, but this is, folks, I litigate cases at the Supreme Court of the United States. I'm gonna have them pull for some of my arguments on how quick you give an answer when you're asked. We'll just find some cases tomorrow and we'll pull some just to show you how it's supposed to go. But this was Judge Friedland to this DOJ lawyer.
Has the government pointed to any evidence connecting these countries with terrorism?
These proceedings.
Question, by the way, this is what the answer should be. What difference it makes? This is a temporary restraining order hearing. So evidence on that is not the issue. The issue before the court, I mean, you do it respectfully. The issue before the court is, does the president have the authority or does he not? He does. So the evidence is irrelevant. But I still would have given the evidence because I would have had it, unlike this.
Moving very fast. The strongest point on that is that in 2015...
It's so painful I can't even listen to it. I cannot believe that was the advocacy offered by the United States. I mean, that was just... Again, I don't know what was... The lawyer may have had 50 other things to do. I don't like saying other things about other lawyers, but goodness, that was bad. Let's take a phone call.
Yeah, let's go right through those who've been holding on the longest, and we'll work our way through there. Rick in Hamilton, Montana, on line 6. Rick, welcome to JCQ
Live. Hey, Rick,
Live.
Go ahead. Real quick, we're going to go through all these calls. You're on the air.
Okay, you bet. Since Ruth Bader Ginsburg took such a political stand against Donald Trump and his proposed policies, if this goes to the Supreme Court, shouldn't she recuse herself?
The issue of recusing of a justice of the Supreme Court of the United States rests solely with that justice. It's not revealable by the court. You cannot. You can make a motion, but that judge or that justice actually makes that decision. Much like the president has the authority to issue this order, the justice has the authority herself and in Justice Ginsburg's situation to say whether she should be recused or not.
And people have said because she was so outspoken, I mean, would she have to recuse herself almost in every case? I mean, there's been that theory because she was got so political this election cycle.
All right, let's grab the next caller.
Yeah, let's go to Mitchell in California, line one. Mitchell, welcome to JSEC.
Hey, Mitchell, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to get you to both to speculate on what effect the pending decision will have on Walter Jones, JASTA, if you think that'll move forward after Obama's veto.
I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it's very hard. That is not on high on the – we were under – by the way, Mitchell, you called to talk us to about Senator Sessions. Will he expand legislation to allow victims of 9/11 to go after the Saudis? And then that's what you're talking about there. So I don't know where that legislation sits right now. I do not think you're going to get a veto from the president, but we have a very – I mean, what's the status of that right now? They did let some legislation – we should have asked that. Some of that legislation went through.
Some legislation has gone through.
Obama vetoed it.
Obama vetoed it, so that now it would have to go back through.
Yeah, so it would have to be reintroduced. But let me tell you about a priority of Jeff Sessions. Let me play what he said this morning at his swearing in.
We have an increased threat since I was United States Attorney from terrorism, Mr. President. You've spoken firmly on that. You've led this nation to say we're going to respond effectively to the threat of terrorism, and you can count on your Department of Justice to do so in an effective way.
All right, there you go. So there's no doubt that Jeff Sessions has taken the priority that the country's facing, which it is the issue of terrorism. There's no doubt about it. Let's get them on the call.
Lynette in Long Island, New York, on line 5. Lynette, welcome to JSEC Live.
Second call from Long Island today, and as a Jericho, Long Island guy, that's pretty good. Lynette, go ahead. You're on.
Thank you so much for taking my call, and I pray
so
for
where's
all
Lynette?
Of you.
Lynette, where are you? Where in Long Island are you?
In Wyandanch.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know where you are. All right,
in Wyandanch, but I work in Woodbury, et cetera.
Hey,
but,
I used to go. I used to swim at the Woodbury Country Club about 400 years ago. There you go. Go ahead.
I wanted to thank you for detailing what goes on in some of these countries that are listed on the CPC list. And I noticed also that in the New York Times, the Tuesday New York Times, it mentioned that Somalia was preparing for elections the next day, and the complete corruption and 25 years, it stated, and according to the New York Times, and the type of things that go on. So I think that if people were aware of what we're actually dealing with, such as ISIS controlling, issuing visas and things like this, that it would give a better understanding of what we're really dealing with.
That's
so
the truth. I think that maybe they explain why are these seven countries, not just because they're Islamic hotbeds for terror, which all of them are, but there's unique reasons, as you said, Lynette, for each one of the seven to be on there. Syria and Iraq, because they are in a time of war. I think you'd add also Syria to the list of Sudan and Iran as enemies of the U.S. So those would meet those categories. And you brought up Somalia. Somalia has been a failed state, as you said, for over 25 years. You've had the al-Shabaab. You've had the terror groups there. And Mogadishu is a war zone of Islamic terror. You have the pirating that occurs in Somalia. Libya is also a failed state as of right now, and so is Yemen. There is no effective national governments to vet people.
All right, Pauline's on line three. Pauline, go ahead.
Could you comment on Gorsuch's criticism of Trump's statement concerning the Ninth Circuit judge?
Well, it wasn't necessarily criticism. That he was in a Senate meeting, Judge Gorsuch, and was asked about the president basically calling out the judiciary, and Judge Gorsuch answered the way a judge would answer the question, and that is, you know, I think we need to make sure we keep an independent judiciary. There should not be external pressures put on the judiciary in that way, and he answered the question the way a lawyer and a judge would answer. We are officers of the court. The president's not. We are. So we've got to be very careful on how we respond to a judge or a justice on a particular matter, including personal comments. That's the oath that I take and that Jordan took when we became attorneys and members of the bar of the Washington in the District of Columbia, for me, and also in Georgia, but also when we're members of the federal bar, and as we both are members of the Supreme Court bar. So that was the absolutely correct answer. No problem there. Let's go to Lorenzo, who's opposed. Lorenzo, go ahead.
Yes. Hello. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to make a comment on the so-called Muslim ban.
Yeah.
I thought in the United States of America, law states that we are innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, if you're accused of a crime
that happened in America,
that happened in the United States,
a legal standard for people who are either U.S. citizens or who are accused of crimes in America. You're not innocent until proven guilty to be an immigrant. We don't allow everybody to immigrate to our country. There's plenty of people who are fine people who just aren't. We don't have the quotas for the number. So they have economic reasons they want to be here. We say no. That doesn't make us a bad country. It makes us a country that has to work with the resources that we have as we expand.
Ann, last question. You're it. Hey, you there, Ann?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Yes.
We're praying for you.
Thanks.
And we love what you do.
Thank you.
My question is, if Donald Trump pulls out of the UN, can we get out of the UN vetting?
Well, then we could get out of the UN vetting without pulling out of the UN. We could just say we're not going to accept the UN vetting. So that's number one. Number two, I don't think the United States is going to pull out of the UN, but I do think the financial restraints, we talked to our friend Lindsey Graham about this, Senator Graham, and he's got legislation moving forward. They're not going to allow this anti-Israel attacks to continue. That is not going to continue to happen. So that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Okay, folks, here's what's going to happen. If we get an opinion this afternoon or this evening, we will come back to you live if it's not too late this evening. And we will certainly get it out by Twitter and social media if it's later in the evening. But it comes out during the day today. We will go live. I'm supposed to be on Hannity tonight discussing it. We will see how that plays out if, in fact, we get the decision there. Again, continue to support the work of the ACLJ and look for any updates from us. Follow me on Twitter. Follow Jordan on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook as well. I've got a page. Jordan has a page. The ACLJ has a page. Even the band has a page. We'll talk to you probably later today.
Hey.
President Trump's executive order, which focuses on keeping America safe, is under legal attack. The executive order implements many policy proposals put forth by the ACLJ. Stand with the ACLJ, add your name to our new petition to defend our national security and protect Christians. We need to hear from you right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, aclj.org.